Deep in the farthest recesses of the most distant jungle lies a city. A city populated by the most mysterious, terrifying, and downright grotesque denizens ever seen by mortal eye. Here, in the darkened corners of this cavernous locale, sits an ordinary, average brick building with an innocuous, ordinary, average blinking neon sign which reads, On Air. It is here where each week, Seth Breedlove and Mark Matzke convene to discuss the greatest mysteries the world has ever known. Now, strap on your hiking boots, grab your trusty walking stick, and don't forget the bug spray as we begin our journey through Monsteropolis.
This is Monsteropolis, a show about monsters, anomalies, and legends. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Seth Breedlove. I'm joined today by, well, first of all, in person, I'm joined by Adam Dugan.
Hi.
You got to really lean into that.
Really get in here.
Get in there, yeah. And via phone call, is this the first, I think this might be the first time we've done this, at least on this show. I'm joined.
Yeah.
By Mark Matzke.
Yes, hello. This is making me somewhat nostalgic, although I don't remember ever calling in, but we used to do the FaceTime or the Google Hangout thing.
Did we?
All the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's actually how we recorded that, isn't it?
Yeah, the vast majority of Sasquatch was recorded via Google Hangout.
Nice. Beautiful. Yeah. Well, this is a throwback to the old days of Sasquatch, the hottest Bigfoot podcast you never listened to. Okay, so we have emails, or at least one email that I should have forwarded to you, Mark. I'm not sure if I did or not.
Yeah, I believe you did.
Okay, well, we actually had two. We have Stephen Modich. Did we read that one already? Oh no, we didn't read that one. Is that the only one? Yeah, that's the only one we've had since we last recorded. We had an email from Stephen Modich. Steve, as I'm going to call him from here on out. He wrote in to say there, hi there, just catching up on all your podcasts and really enjoying it. You mentioned you wanted to know if anyone local would come to a show. This is me saying, yes, I live in the Akron area and would for sure show up to something. Mark and I have been bandying about the idea of doing a live show somewhere here in the Akron area, maybe even just in Wadsworth someplace. And we actually talked to Kristen from Manic on Main about doing like a live show there, which is in downtown Wadsworth. If you're a listener in the Wadsworth area, which I would hope there's many of you because it's broadcast on the radio here, shoot us an email and let us know that you want to come or would come to a show, because I'm not going to put a ton of effort into into promoting this show. Yeah. And I have a feeling that not a feeling, but I have a concern that if we do this, we'll end up with like three people there. And we've already done that, so I'm ready to have a packed house.
STO standing room only.
Yes, yeah, that's what we expect of you, listeners, dear listeners, is for you to show up in droves.
That's what it'll take.
Yep.
To bring us out from the basement.
Yeah. Do you have Matt's email in front of you?
I can get it in front of me presently.
I can get it if you want. I have it in front of me already.
Oh. Okay, let's see.
I could try to do this in a Matt voice. I could try to imitate.
Oh yeah, why don't you? That would be
okay.
Let's give us that.
Hey, my dude. No, I can't do it. So, Matt says, "Hey, my dudes." M. Shang, PhD here. So right off the bat, Seth, you have listened to Reunited by Peaches and Herb. Everyone has you, nerd. Is it peaches and herb or peaches and herb? Is the H?
I think it's herb.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's herb.
I said herb.
I know this.
that's how non-existent my knowledge is of this song. Have you heard this song, Adam?
No.
No?
No.
What?
Oh, yes, you have.
Have I?
United. And
oh, gosh. Yes.
So
okay.
Good.
Yes.
No. Sorry.
Seth, you've never heard that?
No. No. Definitely not.
I want Mark to continue singing.
Yeah, I kind of want you to just keep singing that song for the rest of.
That's all I know.
Yeah,
I know the melody and Reunited and Feels So Good. That's it.
He goes on. This latest episode was one of my favorites. The thought of the government coming out and saying aliens are real and we have been in contact brings up a lot of questions. I think I'm in the boat that Stephen Hawking was in. The only reason why extraterrestrials would visit us and make contact would be for nefarious purposes. It would be to exploit or harm us in the long run. Also, if we are to believe abduction cases, it usually shows in those stories. I don't think society would fall apart, but there would be protests against the government that covered it up, and rightfully so. Keep up the good work. Mark, any thoughts on this?
Well, I think even as we were recording that episode, I think we both realized how much there was to that subject, and it was a lot of fun. I think we both made the comment that it was maybe one of the most fun episodes we've done in some time, just because of the how it kept unspooling, you know, one subject into the next. So, I guess the question is, how much unrest would there be? And I mean, one of the points that we made on that episode, I think it still holds true, is that even if there is a relatively small amount of civil disturbance worldwide, that still is a lot.
You know, yeah.
It still will have a profound effect on the rest of society, and it would be a mess for some time.
Did you listen to our Day After Disclosure episode?
No,
he immediately had this shameful look on his face. We talked all about the Day After Disclosure of Alien Existence by the U.S. government and what the world would look like.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of this?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I think there would be, like Mark said, I think there would be some upheaval against the government itself just for keeping something like that under wraps. Mm-hmm. But I also think that I think people would be kind of like the idea of the government disclosing Bigfoot. Like, I think it would be kind of shock and awe for a little while, and then it would be more interest in the subject itself, I feel like. But there would definitely be some consternation.
I see the world going kablooey.
You think so? I think people would just
Yeah, because we have this whole, I mean, we already talked about this, so listeners are going to be like, oh God, not again. But like, if you really think about what people's lives would have looked like if we've been in contact with aliens, we have their technology, which should alter the way everything functions, the way energy functions, the way cars run, gas,
right,
petroleum, all this stuff, oil, the way the world would look would be a much better place, hypothetically anyway,
right,
if that technology exists. And people have been carrying on their meaningless, horrible jobs for decades. And I don't think people are going to just put that back in the box. I think there's going to be... And it's like Mark said, if there's 10% of the people on the planet rioted or there was some sort of social unrest, it would create chaos.
It's massive. Yeah, yeah. That's huge. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so anyway, let's talk about whatever. This is kind of a rambling episode, I think, because Mark isn't here, and Adam is, and I'm here, and I never do any work to actually prepare for shows. So I think we're just going to kind of talk about random nonsense, and then we'll get back to a regular sort of show, hopefully next week, but I'm not actually sure. We might be off for Thanksgiving. It's going to depend on because I'm taking off of work next week other than 2 days, but this is going to be one of these catch-up episodes where we all just kind of yammer on about whatever.
I will throw this into the ring right now. I think when we come back, one of the first episodes that we do is going to be on the ghost or the spook light phenomenon.
Yes.
That's something that we had mentioned, and we are trying to do a better job of cataloging episodes, ideas that we thought have potential, and definitely with the Brown Mountain and your experiences there.
None.
And other things. I've been looking into some ghost light research, and at first I wasn't finding a whole lot, and then I ran across a book by Jerome Clark, and one thing has led to another, and
nice. Now
there's lots of that, especially in old school, old timey folklore, which I think will be a lot of fun to talk about.
Yeah, I'd love to. I know that a lot of these Spookalite stories have Native American or indigenous peoples connections as far as like their origin legends and stuff. It all seems to go back to the Native Americans. It's Brown Mountain. There's this theory that it was like it's like a war. Actually, I don't want to just ramble on about something I know nothing. So that's one thing I've sort of learned in my brief time looking into this. And one of the reasons we were at Brown Mountain is there's an entire Spooklight episode of On the Trail of UFOs dedicated to unusual aerial phenomena that are not necessarily, you know. Oh, great. That's my phone, I think. I'm sorry. That are not dedicated to like craft and, you know, like interdimensional aliens or whatever. This is more centered around aerial phenomena that are not typically thought of as a UFO, but are, because UFO stands for unidentified flying object, and spook lights are definitely hovering above the ground. So they're flying.
That's it.
So once this comes out, I don't want to hear a bunch of complaints from people. Because this also has a very selfish origin for me, in that I have been super into the Spookalite thing for quite a while, and so we had to do an episode on it, just so I had an excuse to talk about Spookalites and ghost lights. So that's why we're doing it.
Another stream of that I think you'll find interesting is how much in European history folkloric element to spook lights and stuff having to do with imminent death of people and even religious revivals. So there's like tons and tons of things.
It's interesting. The other thing I want to talk about is the difference between orbs and spook lights, because I had this conversation with someone this past week, and they were like, well, isn't a spook light just an orb? And I said, well, it seems like spook lights are sort of connected to one sort of regional or geographical area, and they're seen there frequently. You know, it's almost like a phenomena that you can sort of count on being there. Right. I mean, like in the case of the Brown Mountain lights, there's a very specific set of circumstances that need to be occurring to actually see the Brown Mountain lights. It seems like it's, you know, it's got to be the best, or at least like peak Brown Mountain light season is between September and November. The weather needs to have been warm during the day and then cooled down. There needs to be rain that has fallen at some point recently. I mean, it's funny because when we were there and filmed, we were there during what would be considered absolute peak time. It had been a very warm day, and it cooled down to, it was warm when we got there, and then it dropped into the 40s before we left, and it rained while we were there and then stopped. So it should have been like, we were there for the perfect sort of conditions to see something. But that does seem to be sort of a difference between orbs and spooklights, at least by my reading. I don't know how
more of like an atmospheric phenomenon.
It seems like it's more atmospheric. Yeah. Yeah. It was just really interesting. The one I love is that the railroad tracks. And I think it's in Arkansas, and there's this particular light that follows these railroad tracks. And the theory is that it's the train conductor looking for his lost head. Because apparently he leaned out of the train, and his head was taken off by a tree or something that he smacked it against.
Is that the Gurdon ghost light?
Oh yeah.
Is that what it
is? I think that is. Does that follow a?
It's a train. Yeah.
Yeah. We need Adam on the show as a on the spot researcher. Think of how helpful that would be, mostly just for me. So anyway, Mark, how have you been doing? What have you been up to? I I have to tell listeners, Mark sent me a, Mark's working on the behind the scenes, of Small Town Monsters, which is, it's hard for me to explain this, I guess, but there's going to be a book, as part of this year's Kickstarter campaign for Small Town Monsters, Kickstarter. And the book is sort of a 5-year retrospective look at STM, where we started and where we are now. And it goes, Mark's doing these sort of film by film behind the scenes looks at everything. And I think we've talked about it for a minute, maybe here on the show at some point, but, he just finished the Beast of Whitehall chapter and sent it to me. And I read it last night when I was laying in bed, and it made me incredibly nostalgic. So I sent it to Brandon. As soon as I finished reading it, and Brandon said he was getting a little misty, reading it as well. So it was great stuff. Yeah, no, it's really like, it's just so weird to me where you're pulling that information from. 'Cause it's all stuff I know I've said, and you told me you've been pulling a lot of it from like podcasts and stuff, but
yeah,
it's still weird to me to read things. And it's all stuff I forget completely. Have sort of forgotten about, you know, like,
isn't that wild?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I've learned is how much source material we have left out there, you know, in recorded form largely, or in the few print interviews that also exist. But it's the thing, the time consuming part of that is just compiling it and putting, you know, getting it all into one spot and then trying to distill that down into a readable thing. But it's a lot of fun. I'm glad to hear that it had that effect on you guys, and that it's fairly accurate too, because in some cases I'm trying not to editorialize, but I am trying to add, you know, it's not just straight facts, like,
yeah,
this happened and that happened. I mean, it'd be kind of boring as well.
Yeah.
So
the thing you mentioned that I completely forgot about, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but you said something about an episode that has Brian and Sue Gosselin on it.
Yeah.
Is that, did we record with them at a restaurant?
That's exactly right.
Okay. Yeah. I read that and I was like, hey, I vaguely recall that. Like, we went to, we went and had breakfast somewhere, and
that's right. Yep.
And I actually think Bill Brand was with us too. I can't remember, but I know there was a group of us that went out for breakfast, and Brian and Sue were with us, and we had breakfast with them. So that was a fun memory. And I think Adrian, that would have been 2016. So that was before Tommy was even on the picture And Adrian was with us. Brandon and Tom and his dad were with us. And, we went to this little like restaurant off of, somewhere right outside of Whitehall near Hebert Road, actually, for breakfast. But yeah, great, great chapter. And I'm really excited for people to check out the behind the scenes book, because it's kind of the first place we're ever going to have printed a lot of these photos. Like, you're going to have a ton of behind the scenes photos that exist that people probably don't realize exist, and little like thumbnail sketches and things that the poster artists have done, and behind the scenes artwork and stuff like that. So, the book is going to be part of the Kickstarter. And speaking of, as long as I'm talking about Small Town Monsters real quick, totally getting us off track. March 21st at the Canton Palace Theater, we are doing Mysteries and Monsters at the Canton Palace Theater, which is going to be an all day event. We've already announced. So we have announced, who our special guests are. There's going to be the two that we've announced are Lyle Blackburn and Shannon LeGros. They're both going to give talks during the day. We're also working on getting Thomas Wertman from the Ohio MUFON lockdown to speak that day as well about some of those historical UFO cases. So you would have sort of the full breadth of the paranormal being covered by those three speakers, because Thomas is going to be all UFOs, Lyle's going to talk about Bigfoot, and Shannon's probably going to talk about scary stories, you know, that she's heard from people over the years. So those are three of the speakers. Mark is going to be MC. Adam will be there. I'll be there. There's going to be some Q&As. I think the first one is going to be a Minerva Monster retrospective that is going to be probably Mark and myself. And then hopefully we can get Barbara Galloway and Deputy Shannon there, James Shannon as well. So that's my goal anyway. And that would be a 5-year sort of retrospective look back at Minerva Monster with those people and the case and all that. And if there's been any developments or not. It's the 5-year anniversary of Minerva Monster as of next May, the release of Minerva Monster. So March 21st, we're going to do this whole event, and it's going to kick off with Minerva Monster and then culminate with the world premiere of On the Trail of UFOs. And somewhere in between, we're showing the Flatwoods Monster 2 because we've never shown it at the Camp Palace Theater. So there's going to be speakers and movies and the premiere of On the Trail of UFOs. Right now, the plan is to show the entire On the Trail of UFOs miniseries, which will be clocking in at over 4 hours. So there'll be breaks and stuff like that, obviously. Yeah. There's also going to be food. We're either going to have someone set up upstairs with like a food, you know, like a vendor's table. Or there's going to be a hot dog truck there. We've got some stuff we're working on already with that. Bigfoot is going to be there, taking pictures with people. And there's going to be vendors, a few vendor tables upstairs as well. And some good friends of ours, actually. We didn't want this to be some insanely huge event, but we did want to bring in some vendors. So, I know the Wild and Weird West Virginia guys are going to be there. Creep Geeks are going to be there. Trying to think who else. Oh, the Moth Boys are going to be there. Moth so there's Boys. Yeah, there's a yeah. few of us that'll be set up doing a vendor. So this is an all day actual Small Town Monsters event. It's probably as close as you'll get to Minerva Monster Day again. So
cool.
Do you want to talk about this trip I just got back from? To Los Angeles. Do you have any?
Yeah.
Do you want to hop in here with any questions? Do you have any questions about my trip? Do you really want to know about?
I will as we dive into it.
I thought you might out of the gate want to know about the Walk of Fame.
The Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yeah.
That one? Tell me about the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I'm ready.
We walked on, I saw Mickey Rooney's.
Oh, that's cool.
Star. That's it.
That's the only one.
It was, we went to a waffle place one morning and it was there.
And it was for outside, some reason. It was outside
we were in place. Hollywood when we hit. So yeah, we got back. We just got back from. We went to Los Angeles for essentially a 3-day shoot, and we were shooting. So this was a weird trip because we were filming for, we filmed two interviews, one for the Mothman Legacy and one for the Bell Witch on one day. And then the next day we shot three interviews for On the Trail of UFOs. And then the next day we shot B-roll all day and then hopped on a plane that night and flew back to Ohio. So it was a very intense 3-day trip. Where do we want to start here, Mark? Should I start by talking about the thing we just announced?
Let's make that sort of the official podcast debut of the information.
All right. We've for the last 2 years been talking about Adam Wingard and the conversations we've been having with Adam regarding Small Town Monsters. We finally made it official. And signed an agreement, what is basically a collaboration agreement with Adam Wingard to create and develop content together. And the way that works in my head, at least, is that Small Town Monsters as a whole is sort of collaborating with Adam to create. And right out of the gate, the first thing we're working on is this episodic Small Town Monsters series. I hesitate to call it Small Town Monsters because I don't know what the official title of it is going to be. Right now it's sort of listed as Untitled Small Town Monsters Project. So that's what we're working on right now, is developing a show. The fact is, like, as soon as I posted about this, everyone wanted to know like what network it was going to be on and where they can watch it and all that stuff. So just for clarification, all this means as of right now is that we have come to an agreement with Adam to develop a show. And that means that basically Adam and I have been talking for about 2 years now about what we wanted a show to look like, a Small Town Monsters show to look like. And we have sort of hit upon a format and an idea that we both like. And we are now in the process of sort of putting together what will be the official pitch for that show. And then sometime early next year, Adam will strike out with the, not strike out like in baseball, but head out with the pitch that we put together, and he will go pitch the Small Town Monster show to a number of networks and production companies as well. And for those that aren't aware of Adam's body of work, basically Adam has been a filmmaker since his early 20s. He created some really, from what Zach's told me, really cool indie horror films when he was first starting out. And then he went on to direct Blair Witch, You're Next, and he did the VHS movies, and now he's directing Kong versus Godzilla, or Godzilla versus Kong, I guess it's called. So the fact is, like, Adam's got connections in Hollywood that we don't. So it's sort of the perfect opportunity to have someone involved who has a name, who's built a reputation, who people are going to trust if he comes to them and they say, and he says he likes something. So that's where we are right now. We're just developing the show and putting it all together. This has been in the works for like two years now. And from everything I'm told by like the people behind the scenes, you know, like this is a pretty safe bet that this will find a home. So that's what we're working toward right now. None of this means anything has changed, however, on the indie side of things. Small Town Monsters is still producing all the content next year that we were going to on the Trail of UFOs. I've been editing on the Trail of UFOs for about a month and a half now, and Adam's here now, and he can vouch for the fact that that's all I've been doing today, staring at the computer. I've had two hard crashes that I've had to hard reset my computer out of, and I'm slowly losing my mind over that. The Bell Witch, The Mark of the Bell Witch, and The Mothman Legacy are still coming out next year. So it's business as usual for STM. We aren't millionaires, despite what some people seem to think this means. We have not overnight become millionaires, and we are still functioning the same way we always have, which is one of the reasons we're running a Kickstarter at the beginning of next year. Although, honestly, we'll probably run the Kickstarters either way. We talked about canceling the Kickstarter 2 years ago, the year we did Mothman, or maybe it was last year. And the fan base, quote unquote fan base, Small Town Monsters fan base, does not want us to stop the Kickstarters. And frankly, I get it, because like it's pretty much the only way you can get a lot of the merch that's involved in the Kickstarters. So Kickstarter's proceeding as planned as well. That'll launch on February 6th. But basically, this is our way of announcing to listeners who are vaguely aware of this going on. This is our way of announcing that it's officially going on now. We're officially developing a Small Town Monster show. And everyone's involved if all goes according to plan. If everyone else isn't involved, then I'm probably not involved. So, but for now, the show is being worked on, and I can tell listeners that if you're a fan of what we do, this is for you. This is what we already do, you know, repackaged somewhat, but it's similar to what we already do, and it will have a very large budget compared to what we've been working with.
Yeah. Can I ask you some leading questions?
Yeah.
Where did you meet with Adam Wingard?
Oh, yeah, nice. So originally Adam was supposed to be in on the Trail of UFOs. We were supposed to be interviewing him because he had a UFO sighting out near Joshua Tree. And so originally we were supposed to be going to dinner and then like hanging out at his house afterward. And then I guess he had some stuff come up for the weekend. He was traveling out of town. So he shot me an email and was like, would you mind meeting me at the Legendary offices on, well, actually he didn't even say that. He just gave me the address. And then I looked it up because I was I thought it looked familiar. So I looked it up online and I realized that it's the same building where like DC is based, DC Comics is based. Wow. And and it's where Legendary is. So, you know, I walked into this huge building. We had to go through like three levels of security to get in there, no joke. And we got in there and I took the elevator up to their floor. And when I got off the elevator, the first thing I saw was like the giant Legendary logo, which I took a picture of and posted. So if anyone's friends with me, they've already seen it. But like I walked in and it was the Legendary offices and there was that. The first thing I saw when I walked into the lobby was the these life-size recreations of the snowmen, the evil snowmen from Krampus, which is a movie I adore. So that was super cool too. And then I got through there, and then I gave the guy my name at the desk, and then I just started taking pictures of stuff and geeking out about everything. And there was, it was super cool. So that was, the meeting actually was at the Legendary offices and we were in Adam's office, but we also hung out in the editing bay for a little while for Godzilla versus Kong.
Wow. That's I would awesome. Not have been okay. It would have been very hard.
It's funny. I kept getting, people were like, are you nervous? And I was like, I'm not nervous. But once you get into the building, it's not nerves so much as like just sheer
panic.
No, that's like sheer excitement, but it does kind of like hit you in a physical way. You know, like, I don't know how to explain it, but like I've been into movies since I was a kid, and I'm nowhere near the Godzilla fan, that's putting it mildly, that you are, Mark. Yeah. So I can only imagine what it would be like for you, but I am a huge Kong fan, and I've been a King Kong fan since I was little. I still remember the first time I saw King Kong with my dad. So like, Kong is a huge deal for me. So I don't know. There's just something weird. It's also just strange, like stepping behind the curtain in a way, you know, like for someone that grew up watching those behind the scenes movies and behind the scenes documentaries and stuff, it's weird to be on that level. And like, even just hearing the people talk about the different projects that are being worked on there is strange, because the money they're talking about is astronomical. You know, you're talking about $200 million movies with like $120 million marketing budgets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's just another, it's a very, I don't get nervous, but I get oddly excited. Like walking through to Adam's office, they had all these props from Pacific Rim kind of placed around. And actually that's what we took a selfie together, and it was in front of one of those props from Pacific Rim. So that, you know, and I loved that movie. So it's weird. You just nerd out.
Yeah. Well, there was one picture you sent me that was like one of the Jaeger pilots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean just that's sitting around, or you know, being featured in there on their property, that would just be amazing.
It's just so cool. That thing's just chilling outside the elevators when you get off the elevators. Just right there.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm. And I got to watch, I watched about, I'd say 12 to 15 minutes of Godzilla versus Kong, which I didn't sign anything, but I can't talk about it. I told him I wouldn't.
No, of course. Of course. Do you have any insight as to a trailer release?
No. That is one thing. Yeah, that unfortunately, I didn't even ask him about it. I just kind of like, by then he showed me a little bit of the movie. I was kind of fascinated by the production schedule, like how, because what he was showing me looked so polished at times, some of the shots, that it almost looked like the color grading had already been done. And I was like, you know, I know how typical film works is color and sound are the last two things. So like, you know, the movie gets scored and everything, and then the last two steps in the process are color and sound. You know, the sound and color are usually being done simultaneously. Someone's mixing the sound and putting all that in, and someone else is doing the color grading. And those are the last two steps, but shots already looked completed. And there were some really nice, like gorgeous, effect shots with Godzilla and Kong that looked completed. So I have to believe there would be a trailer fairly soon, because what I saw looked like it was fairly solid.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll find
out.
But yeah, we did get to interview, what in the world is that? That sounds like a child's toy gun. I don't know if you could hear that, Mark, but there was,
maybe the men in black are bad.
Oh,
that's it.
They knock on the door.
Yeah. We had a visit from the men. No, he doesn't know about those.
Oh, this is interesting.
You should listen to last week's episode. You'll hear it live.
That would require me to
listen. They showed up at my office while we were recording.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was unusual to say the least.
Yes. And they were both in black. Not black suits.
No.
They were both wearing black head to toe. It was a lady and a man knocked on my door while we were recording, and it was right at like the middle of the disclosure episode.
Oh, that's wild. I need to go back and listen.
So anyway, the trip was really cool. Like we interviewed Sam Sharon about his UFO sighting. We interviewed Greg Bishop and we interviewed Ellie Haskins, and that was it. Like, we shot a lot of B-roll and did a lot of work. I mean, it was honestly, I said 3 days, but it was really only 2.5. 'Cause by the time we were, you know, we had to head to the airport to get the girls to the airport at like 4 PM. So we were heading back from Malibu by 3. I mean, we dropped them at the airport, and then we, weirdly, the Zach, Jason, and I got a hotel so we could sleep for like 4 hours. And then we checked back out of the hotel and went to the airport and hopped on a plane and came home. And it was a very, very abrupt trip. I will say where we stayed. So we had to get, this is some real inside baseball stuff for listeners, but like when we do shoots like this, we typically get an Airbnb because we have to film interviews and it's best if we can control the environment we're filming in. So we got an Airbnb like 3 months ago. And then about 3 weeks ago, the Airbnb that we had canceled on us. And the only thing left that had this space and the background we needed ended up being in like the Hollywood Hills. So we were staying in this neighborhood where Kate Mara was hanging out with Jamie Bell the next morning at the cafe across the street, and Zach saw Jamie Lee Curtis walking her dog. So like it was a very posh neighborhood apparently, and if you know us, you know how out of place we are in that environment.
Not posh.
Yeah. In that environment we are not in our element. So I don't know what else to say. Like, that's it. Like, that was the trip. It was chaotic.
And Brandon was there, right?
Brandon spent a lot of time with us, which was awesome as always. And it's weird. This is his second time being a part of one of the On the Trail of shoots. He was with us for the West Coast stuff earlier this year too, but it's still just, it's odd to like go to a place and Brandon's just there instead of like you're traveling with him. It's just a strange, it's a different, it always strikes me because like Brandon was part of STM from the beginning and now we do these shoots and he's not there, you know, like Momo, he wasn't involved at all. Terra in the Skies, he wasn't involved at all. So it's kind of weird. Like, you just don't, it feels very different, to not have B as part of the regular crew, but it's nice. Like when we can do stuff like that and show up and he's there. So,
yeah, that's what I was reminded of doing the Whitehall chapter, is how thoroughly involved with the production he was on that. I mean, he was, right down to editing. I mean, you were bouncing ideas off of him from the sounds of things, and he had his hand in everything that happened on Beast of Whitehall. So
he would sit with me he'd come over and sit in the office while I edited the movie, you know, and I think people at that are pressure at that time seemed really high to me. Now I don't, looking back on it, man, we were making movies for an audience of like 5,000 people then, you know, as opposed to like 5 million today. I can still remember the feeling super pressured making Beast of Whitehall to like attain something that I felt like we had done with Minerva.
Right.
But it's interesting. You said you can see the growth between Minerva and Whitehall. You said it more eloquently than that in your writing, but I was interested in that, you know, like how those two do play back to back today. I haven't gone back and watched STM movies in a row at all. So I'd be curious to like sit down and watch Minerva and then Beast of Whitehall and just see how they play, like that.
It's extremely interesting, I think.
Yeah.
Just trying to be as objective as possible, you know, and I know that's something that you and I've talked about before, is how interesting it would be to have somebody completely unattached the production take sort of a critical look at the series so far and just see what they notice. It'd be another voice.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
Yeah, it is. It would have to be someone completely objective too. So we'll get Michael Moore to do the Small Town Monster. Okay, well, is that, I think that covers it for this week's show. If you wanted to send an email, monsteropolismail@gmail.com. You can check us out there. Send us your thoughts. We'll read it on the show. You can leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, blah, 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 all the podcast catchers. And you can find our movies at smalltownmonsters.com. You can get your Canton Palace Theater March 6th or March 21st tickets online and come hang out with us. Tickets are only $12, but if you wait until Black Friday through December 2nd, they're running a BOGO sale. So if you have more than one person you wanted to come to that event with, you can buy one ticket and get one free for the Canton Palace Theater thing. So wait until Black Friday if you haven't already bought your ticket, and then you can get your ticket then, and you'll get a second one for free, or third one, or however it works. So
that's a deal right there.
That's a steal for you.
A steal of a deal.
The listeners. So, all right. thanks for listening. We'll be back.
Monsteropolis is proudly presented on Wadsworth Community Radio 97.1 FM or streaming live at wadsworthcommunityradio.com and is proudly underwritten by Thurber's Jewelers on the Square in downtown Wadsworth.